darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on his way, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, You are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And he called him to the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for the sake and the gospels will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In today's gospel reading, we hear that the Apostle Peter certainly did not like the idea of the cross. He did like Jesus, though, we need to keep in mind, for he was one of the apostles of Jesus. However, Peter, like so many others throughout the ages, basically did not want to embrace a bloody cross due to all the dread and the pain attached to it. Simply stated, he wanted an uncrucified Jesus. He wanted a crossless Jesus. Give me Jesus, but a Jesus without the suffering, without the death, without all that anguish, and especially without all that dirty blood. Peter is undoubtedly not alone in his hesitations, for there is definitely a seductive power. There's a seductive power at work in our day and age to have an uncrucified Jesus. Yes, there's a large attraction among many Christians like you and me to have a crossless Jesus. The seduction is not merely to be silent regarding the crucifixion. It is a temptation to avoid the cross altogether. Preachers, they are tempted to pretty up their preaching with a precious moment Jesus, who just wants the world to have a group hug and get along. Parishioners are attracted to the idea of lightening up the liturgy with the feel-good music and language of the culture to make the gospel more palatable to the taste of modern man. This time of year that we're in right now, this Lent season, there are many people who just wish the church could maybe just fast forward through the dreary darkness of Lent or just skip Good Friday altogether and maybe go right towards the Resurrection Sunday. Regrettably, like the Apostle Peter, we Christians all too often demonstrate our aversion to the bloody cross by wanting to have the Easter season without the Lent season and Resurrection Sunday without Good Friday. It is true that we don't like the dark valley of the season of Lent. We don't like the themes of repentance and sorrow for sin. We don't like the sounds of the whips, the shame, that blood, the tears, the agony of Good Friday. It disturbs us. It disturbs our modern sensibilities. We would rather hear stories of triumph and splendor, not loss and humiliation. However, can we have Resurrection Sunday if we don't go through Good Friday? Can there be forgiveness of sins without a cross, without a death of the Son of God? My friends, the harsh reality that Peter was confronted with some 2,000 years ago is that the gospel that saves, this gospel that saves, is gory. It is painful. It is a gory and painful gospel. Yes, the gospel that saves is a message where Jesus is bloodied, where he is beaten, where he is mocked, and where he seems to lose. This biblical reality goes against our way of thinking, does it not? Nobody likes being a loser, and nobody likes being around losers. Indeed, it would be better if there was no such things as losers at all. I mean, we want everyone around us, especially those that we love, and especially ourselves, to be winners. For a natural way of thinking says that comfort and gain and power and an increase in status are all very good things and should belong to all of those around us. Whereas defeat, yes, defeat, defeat and suffering and pain and shame are bad. They're bad and they go against our common way of thinking, our common sense way of thinking. It goes against this chronic niceness embedded in our Midwestern culture. When we hear about Jesus having to go to the cross to lose, that is to say, die on a cross between sinners, it does not sit well with us. This simply did not make sense, according to Peter as well. It did not make sense that Jesus was going to suffer and die. This was not pleasant news for Peter. It wasn't positive and uplifting for Peter. This did not sound like victory according to Peter. He expected grand things from Jesus, visions of brilliance, success, and power, not rejection, suffering, and death. He wanted the Jesus who cast out demons, the Jesus who rebuked the Pharisees, and healed the crippled and cleared the temple, but not the Jesus who would suffer, die, and lose. Peter wanted a golden crown, not a crown of thorns. He wanted Jesus lifted up on a throne, not a cross. Furthermore, he certainly did not want to hear about this gloomy news. How could a cross be positive for this movement of Jesus? With all this stated, and as a result of this, Peter rebuked Jesus, he chewed Jesus out, he reprimanded Jesus for not being the Savior that he expected and the Savior that he wanted. A suffering and bleeding Jesus was just too negative for Peter. The cross was just too scary, it was just too pessimistic. Simply stated, Peter was attempting to separate Jesus from the cross. As Peter soon came to find out from Jesus' reply to him, he was not thinking correctly, but doing the work of Satan. Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For you, yes, you, Peter, are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Yes, my friends, when you and I, soberly, when we reject the Jesus of the cross, when we reject the bleeding and dying Savior to suit our own fancy, we're actually doing the work of Satan. A Jesus without a cross, bluntly stated, my friends, a Jesus who doesn't bleed for mankind is no Jesus at all, but a counterfeit Jesus. Jesus, a Jesus fabricated from the lies of hell. Truly, hell is just as happy with those who believe in a fake Jesus as with all those who believe in no Jesus at all. There really is no difference. A fake Jesus standing far off in the distance, cheering you on like a mascot while you attempt to enact your supposed spiritual powers towards man-made endeavors, is no real Jesus at all, but a crossless and bloodless Jesus. An Americanized Jesus who promises you health and wealth and happiness, if you only do this or if you only do that, is really no Jesus at all, but a crossless and bloodless Jesus. There's only one Christ, my friends, only one Jesus, the Jesus who would undergo great suffering, great rejection, and be killed and rise 3 days later. Yes, there's only one Jesus, but there is a world full of imitations, imitations created in the image of what we want Jesus to be for us. The tragic reality is that each of us and each of these fake Jesuses, which are masks worn by demons, oh boy, soberly, they will gladly take you by the hand. They will walk with you and talk with you and lead you safely through this world until you hear this news: well done, good and faithful fool. My friends, the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature will do anything and everything to get the cross out of our lives. Brothers and sisters, repent of your false Jesuses that you have created through the imagination of your own minds or by the caricatures of this world and what society wants Jesus to be. Repent, for your mind has been set on human ideology. Repent. Thank goodness, though, as we hear in our gospel reading, Peter was rebuked by Jesus in this gospel reading from today. Thank goodness that you, and yes, I, both of us, are rebuked from God's holy word today as well. Jesus, he doesn't beat around the bush. He used stern words with Peter, and he uses these stern words to us. Get behind me, Satan. However, these words, they're not designed to drive us away. They're designed to place us back, yes, back right where we need to be and where we belong. To put this in another way, the counterfeit Jesuses that we desire are the very Jesuses that we really don't need, for they do not exist and they do not accomplish what we need. Conversely, the Jesus that we most want to resist is the very Jesus that we in fact need. In other words, both Peter and you do not need a crossless and bloodless Jesus, for a Jesus without the cross and a Jesus who does not bleed for you accomplishes absolutely nothing. Seriously, if Jesus would have gone to Jerusalem and to conquer the Roman Empire and he would have avoided the cross, what would have this accomplished for mankind? What would have this accomplished for you? Otherwise stated, if Jesus was a God who simply came to make you healthy and wealthy and happy, what would this accomplish for you? A Jesus who primarily is for helping your children get on the honor roll, a Jesus who is mainly for helping you run a better business, or is chiefly for helping your marriage and sex life to be great, is a fake Jesus. A fake Jesus that is powerless to deal with real and the most important issues that we have, that being our sin. Dear friends, you who have ears, hear. You need a Jesus who has a cross and who bleeds for you. For a bleeding and dying Jesus is the only Jesus that forgives sins, defeats death, defeats the devil, and satisfies the wrath of God. Yes, you need a bleeding and a dying Jesus. My friends, the good news of the gospel is this, is that despite all of your failures, despite all of my failures, despite our failures, just like Peter, you already have a bleeding and dying Jesus. Yes, even though the devil, the world, our sinful nature would do anything and everything to get the cross out of our lives, Jesus still went to the cross. He still went there for you. Jesus did not heed to Peter's rebuke, and he doesn't succumb to our wishes and or our demands. You see, there was nothing that would keep or could keep Jesus from the mission of the cross, a mission that was for you. Hear, O sinners, with me, our life is in the bleeding and the suffering Savior upon the cross. It was necessary for the Son of Man, it was necessary for him to die, for you and for me. The love of Christ knows no other way of rescue. Therefore, we can say, bring on the Lent season, bring on Good Friday, bring on the sweat like blood, the vinegar and the wounds. Bring on the hands that bind, the hands that slap, the hands that nail, the hands that bury. Bring on the lies of the priest, the mocking of the crowd, the silence of heaven. Why? For the joy set before him. He endured it all. He endured it all for you. Let him be rejected by the chief priests, for in his rejection by them is your acceptance. Let him be killed, for in his death is your life. Let him be buried, for in that tomb he will break the stranglehold of death. Yes, let sin and death and hell have their way with Jesus, for in doing so he paves the way of absolution, life, and everlasting bliss for you and for the world. This, my friends, is Mount Calvary. This is the gospel of Mount Calvary for you. Yes, Christ, he went that dark way of the cross for you. He bled and he suffered for you. The body and the blood are for you. The plan of salvation is for you. He had to go away the way of the cross for you. He did this to declare you a blessed saint and gift you eternal life. He chose the cross and he chose suffering. He chose the cross and he chose the suffering for you, all for you. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.